Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szöveg értése emelt szint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The tasks will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After that, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is exactly 30 minutes long. Good luck.
Listen.
Task 1. In this section, you will hear some jokes. Your task will be to match the titles of the jokes on the left with the names of the people who tell the jokes on the right. Put the letters in the grid. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now, look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Okay, guys, we still have 5 minutes before the train arrives. Let's kill the time telling jokes. I'll start with a favorite of mine. A ship is sinking. An Englishman with a pipe in his mouth asks the captain, "Sir, which of these boats are for smokers?" All right, okay. Now, let's hear your jokes. What about you, Peter?
Okay, John, here it is. A six-year-old boy walked up to his father one day and announced, "Daddy, I'd like to get married." His father, rather shocked, asked, "Sure, son, do you have anyone special in mind?" "Yes," answered the little boy. "I want to marry Grandma." "Now, wait a minute," said his father. "You don't think I would let you get married with my mother, do you?" "Why not?" the boy asked. "You married mine."
Thanks, Peter. Now it's your turn, Judith.
Okay, here I go. A medical doctor moves to a new place, so he puts on the front of his door a sign, "Best doctor in this town." Some days later, another medical doctor moves in, two houses aside. He also puts a sign on his door, "Best doctor in this country." A third medical doctor moves also to this street, but on the other side of the road. He also puts a sign on his door, "Best doctor of the world." Finally, a fourth medical doctor moves in, and after reading all the other signs, he puts his, "Best doctor in this street."
Nice. Thanks, Judith. Now let's hear Charles.
Okay, what are the four stages of life? Well, first, you believe in Santa Claus. Then, you don't believe in Santa Claus. In the next stage, you are Santa Claus. And finally, you look like Santa Claus.
Thanks. And how about you, Anne?
Well, this is a very nice one. An American walks into a Swiss bank with a huge, heavy bag in his hands. He goes to the bank clerk, brings his face close to the glass, and whispers, "I have $2 million with me. I urgently need to open a secret Swiss bank account." The Swiss bank clerk replies, "Sir, there's no need to whisper. Poverty is nothing to be ashamed of in Switzerland."
That's a really nice one. A second one, Anne?
Okay. A family of mice were surprised by a big cat. Father Mouse jumped and said, "Woof, woof!" The cat ran away. "What was that, Father?" asked Baby Mouse. "Well, son, that's why it's important to learn foreign languages."
Thanks, Anne. Okay, the train's coming, but we have just enough time for another one from you, Charles.
Sure. "If you had a pound," asked the teacher, "and you asked your father for another £1.50, how much money would you have?" £1, answered the little boy. "Oh, you don't know your basic mathematics," said the teacher, shaking her head, very disappointed. The little kid shook his head too. "Well, you don't know my daddy."
Yeah, very, very funny. Ha ha.
Oh my God.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that now we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Okay, guys, we still have 5 minutes before the train arrives. Let's kill the time telling jokes. I'll start with a favourite of mine. A ship is sinking. An Englishman with a pipe in his mouth asks the captain, "Sir, which of these boats are for smokers?" All right, okay. Now, let's hear your jokes. What about you, Peter?
Okay, John, here it is. A 6-year-old boy walked up to his father one day and announced, "Daddy, I'd like to get married." His father, rather shocked, asked, "Sure, son, do you have anyone special in mind?" "Yes," answered the little boy. "I want to marry Grandma." "Now, wait a minute," said his father. "You don't think I would let you get married with my mother, do you?" "Why not?" the boy asked. "You married mine."
Thanks, Peter. Now it's your turn, Judith.
Okay, here I go. A medical doctor moves to a new place. So he puts on the front of his door a sign, "Best doctor in this town." Some days later, another medical doctor moves in, 2 houses aside. He also puts a sign on his door, "Best doctor in this country." A third medical doctor moves also to this street, but on the other side of the road. He also puts a sign on his door, "Best doctor of the world." Finally, a fourth medical doctor moves in, and after reading all the other signs, he puts his, "Best doctor in this street."
Nice. Thanks, Judith. Now let's hear Charles.
Okay, what are the 4 stages of life? Well, first, you believe in Santa Claus. Then, you don't believe in Santa Claus. In the next stage, you are Santa Claus. And finally, you look like Santa Claus.
Thanks. And how about you, Anne?
Well, this is a very nice one. An American walks into a Swiss bank with a huge, heavy bag in his hands. He goes to the bank clerk, brings his face close to the glass, and whispers, "I have $2 million with me. I urgently need to open a secret Swiss bank account." The Swiss bank clerk replies, "Sir, there's no need to whisper. Poverty is nothing to be ashamed of in Switzerland."
That's a really nice one. A second one, Anne?
Okay. A family of mice were surprised by a big cat. Father Mouse jumped and said, "Woof, woof!" The cat ran away. "What was that, Father?" asked Baby Mouse. "Well, son, that's why it's important to learn foreign languages."
Thanks, Anne. Okay, the train's coming, but we have just enough time for another one from you, Charles.
Sure. If you had a pound, asked the teacher, and you asked your father for another £1.50, how much money would you have? £1, answered the little boy. Oh, you don't know your basic mathematics, said the teacher, shaking her head, very disappointed. The little kid shook his head too. Well, you don't know my daddy.
Yeah, very, very funny. Ha ha.
Oh my God.
That is the end of task one. Task two. In this section, you will hear a recorded advertisement that appeared on the internet. Your task will be to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter in the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true, write B if the statement is false, and write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. A means true, B means false, C means the text does not say. Now, look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
If you want this choice position, have a cheery disposition. Rosy cheeks, no warts.
That's the part I put in.
Play games, all sorts. You must be kind, you must be witty, very sweet and fair.
We are a friendly family of six with four children ages 2, 5, 7, and 15. We are looking for a highly qualified, full-time, live-in nanny who has a degree in child psychology, no children of their own, and a minimum of 15 years of nannying experience. The candidate must be willing to work 6 days a week, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. We have four homes in London, Barbados, Cape Town, and Atlanta. The applicant, therefore, must be comfortable with flying regularly as they may be required to travel internationally up to 3 times a week, depending where the children are. I feel it is best to be honest. The role is demanding. Our children are homeschooled and require constant attention and supervision, even when they are with their teachers. We'd like our nanny to participate in lessons where appropriate, to help with their studies outside of the classroom. We'd prefer our nanny to eat with the children at every meal, which will be cooked for them by a Michelin star chef. However, this isn't compulsory. We have several cars, including a Porsche, Range Rover, and Maserati, which are available for the candidates to use. We expect the nanny to run errands and take the children to various daily appointments. A clean UK driving license is a must. My husband and I are often absent due to work and social commitments, but when we are home, we like to have time alone with our children. Therefore, there will be periods where we ask our nanny to take leave to allow us to have quality time as a family. Ideally, our nanny will be trained in self-defense. However, if the right candidate doesn't already have this training, we will provide and pay for it. This is a basic requirement and is non-negotiable. We wish to find the perfect nanny for our family, and it's vital that our children like the successful candidate. Therefore, there is a 2-week paid provisional period while the nanny is required to live with us in one of our homes so we can see the applicant is really suitable for the job. We are offering a salary of £100,000 a year and require an agreement to be signed as well that the nanny agrees not to share any information about the family and the job with anyone else. The successful candidate must have all the above as we are keen to find the perfect new addition to our family.
Hurry, nanny, many thanks, sincerely. Jane and Michael, thanks.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that now we will play the recording in shorter sections.
If you want this choice position, have a cheery disposition. Rosy cheeks, no warts.
That's the part I put in.
Play games, all sorts. You must be kind, you must be witty. Sweet and fairly pretty. Take us on outings.
We are a friendly family of 6 with 4 children ages 2, 5, 7, and 15. We are looking for a highly qualified, full-time, live-in nanny who has a degree in child psychology, no children of their own, and a minimum of 15 years of nannying experience. The candidate must be willing to work 6 days a week, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. We have 4 homes in London, Barbados, Cape Town, and Atlanta. The applicant, therefore, must be comfortable with flying regularly as they may be required to travel internationally up to 3 times a week, depending where the children are. I feel it is best to be honest. The role is demanding. Our children are homeschooled and require constant attention and supervision, even when they are with their teachers. We'd like our nanny to participate in lessons where appropriate to help with their studies outside of the classroom. We'd prefer our nanny to eat with the children at every meal, which will be cooked for them by a Michelin star chef. However, this isn't compulsory. We have several cars, including a Porsche, Range Rover, and Maserati, which are available for the candidates to use. We expect the nanny to run errands and take the children to various daily appointments. A clean UK driving license is a must. My husband and I are often absent due to work and social commitments, but when we are home, we like to have time alone with our children. Therefore, there will be periods where we ask our nanny to take leave to allow us to have quality time as a family. Ideally, our nanny will be trained in self-defense. However, if the right candidate doesn't already have this training, we will provide and pay for it. This is a basic requirement and is non-negotiable. We wish to find the perfect nanny for our family, and it's vital that our children like the successful candidate. Therefore, there is a 2-week paid provisional period while the nanny is required to live with us in one of our homes so we can see the applicant is really suitable for the job. We are offering a salary of £100,000 a year and require an agreement to be signed as well that the nanny agrees not to share any information about the family and the job with anyone else. The successful candidate must have all the above as we are keen to find the perfect new addition to our family.
Hurry. Thanks.
is the end of task 2. Task 3. In this section, you will hear an anecdote about a famous high-wire walker who was the first person to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Your task will be to give short answers to the questions below by continuing the sentences we have begun for you. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now, look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
One, two, one, two, four.
Jean-François Gravelet, better known as Blondin, was a famous tightrope walker and acrobat. He is, perhaps, best known for his many crossings of a tightrope 1,100 feet in length, suspended 160 feet above Niagara Falls in the USA. Blondin became obsessed with the idea of crossing the Niagara River on a tightrope in 1855. Finally, in June of 1859, he performed his first stunt. Spectators were charged 25 cents to view the crossing, with the privilege of obtaining a seat for the show for an extra 25 cents. At 5 p.m. on June the 30th, Blondin set out for Canada. A short way out, he stopped, lay down full length on the rope on his back, and then raised himself on one leg. The first crossing took 20 minutes. There were many more crossings, each more daring than the one before. His act would be watched by large crowds and begin by a relatively simple crossing using a balancing pole. Then he would throw away the pole and amaze the onlookers. On one occasion, he crossed the tightrope blindfolded. Another time, he stopped halfway to cook and eat an omelette. Blondin walked and ran across, forwards and backwards, even in darkness. Once he even crossed by bicycle. In 1860, a royal party from England came to watch Blondin perform. After his normal, spectacular crossings, he then wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other as the crowd cheered. Next, he put a sack of potatoes into the wheelbarrow and wheeled that across. The crowd cheered louder. Then he approached the royal party and asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe that I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?"
"Well, yes, I do," said the Duke.
"Ah, hop in," replied Blondin. The crowd fell silent. But the Duke of Newcastle would not accept Blondin's challenge.
"Is there anyone else here who believes I could do it?" asked Blondin.
No one was willing to volunteer. Eventually, an old woman stepped out of the crowd and climbed into the wheelbarrow. Blondin wheeled her all the way across and all the way back. The old woman was Blondin's mother, the only person willing to put her life in his hands.
Now Now listen to the recording again. Remember that now we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Jean-François Gravelet, better known as Blondin, was a famous tightrope walker and acrobat. He is, perhaps, best known for his many crossings of a tightrope 1,100 feet in length, suspended 160 feet above Niagara Falls in the USA. Blondin became obsessed with the idea of crossing the Niagara River on a tightrope in 1855. Finally, in June of 1859, he performed his first stunt. Spectators were charged 25 cents to view the crossing, with the privilege of obtaining a seat for the show for an extra 25 cents. At 5 p.m. on June the 30th, Blondin set out for Canada. A short way out, he stopped, lay down full length on the rope on his back, and then raised himself on one leg. The first crossing took 20 minutes. There were many more crossings, each more daring than the one before. His act would be watched by large crowds and begin by a relatively simple crossing using a balancing pole. Then, he would throw away the pole and amaze the onlookers. On one occasion, he crossed the tightrope blindfolded. Another time, he stopped halfway to cook and eat an omelette. Blondin walked and ran across, forwards and backwards, even in darkness. Once, he even crossed by bicycle. In 1860, a royal party from England came to watch Blondin perform. After his normal, spectacular crossings, he then wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other as the crowd cheered. Next, he put a sack of potatoes into the wheelbarrow and wheeled that across. The crowd cheered louder. Then he approached the royal party and asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe that I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?"
"Well, yes, I do," said the Duke.
"Ah, hop in," replied Blondin. The crowd fell silent, but the Duke of Newcastle would not accept Blondin's challenge.
"Is there anyone else here who believes I could do it?" asked Blondin.
No one was willing to volunteer. Eventually, an old woman stepped out of the crowd and climbed into the wheelbarrow. Blondin wheeled her all the way across and all the way back. The old woman was Blondin's mother, the only person willing to put her life in his hands.
That is the end of task 3, and also the end of the listening exam.